Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hi guys, Lauren here, jumping in before the pod starts to let you know our live show is now available for your viewing pleasure. Shot during our sold-out Sydney, Australia show last December, I don't want to sound like Stefan, but this show literally has everything. We have a breakdown of Kim Cattrall's traumatizing book about the art of the female orgasm. We have a segment dedicated to glamorous women having nervous breakdowns. There's a formal debate about a certain pop star's sexuality. There's a game show and an award show. And truly, so much more. The special can be found on our Patreon and is accessible to anyone who joined at the Richard Burton level or higher. But for those who are not ready to commit to our Patreon, we get it. Our live show is available for purchase for a one-time fee. I will link to all of this in the show notes. And now, here's the episode.
I spent $40,000 on shoes.
What's the matter, Morty?
Great gowns, beautiful gowns.
Fashion has changed.
No, it hasn't.
Hi, I'm Lauren Garoni.
And I'm Chelsea Fairless.
And welcome back to the Every Outfit podcast. We are doing our monthly rewatch episode. Frankly, our last rewatch episode for a while because And Just Like That is about to begin. And we put our thinking caps on what would be a good episode to do prior to the third season of And Just Like That. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're pretty sure that Miranda is getting a lesbian storyline. So we felt like it was time to revisit the episode where Miranda goes on a date with Sid and is mad that everyone thinks she's a lesbian.
Otherwise known as Bay of Married Pigs.
But before we get into that, I wanted to discuss a slight programming change that will be happening over the next few months. And no, this has nothing to do with my maternity leave. Unlike previous seasons, we have learned that And Just Like That will be airing Thursday evening instead of Thursday right at midnight.
Well, it was Thursday at midnight for people on the West Coast and 3 in the morning on the East Coast. So now the HBO Max overlords have generously decided to release it at 9 p.m. on the East Coast and 6 p.m. on the West Coast. Thank God.
Better for you as a viewer, slightly worse for us, because now we need to push our recording from Thursday to Friday, which means you guys will be getting the episode slightly later instead of Fridays. You'll be getting it Saturday. I know that's different days for international fuckettes, but I can't do the time change for everybody. Everyone will be getting these episodes over the summer at some point over the weekend.
Just a day later than you usually get them.
Also, this is not coming just from Chelsea. I also sanctioned this change. For everyone's sanity, we're going to be splitting these episodes between an And Just Like That recap and then a pop culture slash fashion episode. So really, it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, there's 12 episodes of And Just Like That this season, and we were not willing to exclusively talk about that for that long. I don't think it would make the show better. So we've come to this conclusion. However, we will still be doing And Just After That, our post show, which is available on Patreon and on Apple Podcast subscriptions.
Yes. I'm sure at some point while listening to these recap episodes, you're like, but what are Lauren and Chelsea's true opinions about the episode. And that's what we call paywall thoughts. So they will be safely hidden behind a paywall. We'll also be taking your calls. So please call our hotline at 323-486-6773 or slide into our DMs with your questions, concerns, and hot takes, preferably by Friday midday.
Yeah, because we're going to have to record around then.
And just like that, another season of And Just Like That.
What else?
I mean, I'm about to
pop.
Guys, I'm so gigantic right now.
So pregnant. She's waddling like the penguin.
No, don't tell people that.
It's cute. It's cute. I love it.
Yeah, your wife did see me last week and she was like, aw, what a cute waddle.
So you're 2 weeks away from your due date. Perfect timing with And Just Like That.
I am in the phase of pregnancy where I could go into labor tomorrow, next week, or a month from now.
We'll see what happens.
All right, let's get into this episode. Sex in the City, Bay of Married Pigs, the third episode of season one.
Can you believe that this show was this good by the third episode of season one?
Obviously, this is something that I'm sure was ripped from Candace's column. But yes, this episode is so ahead of its time, and it really is such a stark juxtaposition to where the show ends up in the later seasons.
It's amazing. It really is. So it aired in 1998 originally. It was written by the dream team of Darren Star, Daddy MPK, Candace Bushnell, directed by the brilliant Nicole Holofcener Center.
The writer of one of our favorite films, Can You Ever Forgive Me, amongst many other brilliant movies.
Yeah, she's a real auteur. She wrote and directed Lovely and Amazing, Friends with Money. Also, You Hurt My Feelings, the newest one, the Julia Louis-Dreyfus one. Did you ever see that?
I did. It's so funny.
Yeah, I saw it too. Her movies are great, consistently great. They always have a very similar tone, which I find to be comforting.
Yeah, and I would recommend, I believe this is her first film, Walking and Talking, which has a very, I'm sure this is why she got the Sex and the City directing job, but it's Catherine Keener, Anne Heche, a very young Liev Schreiber, Todd Field. And if you love movies like Party Girl, and obviously this early era of Sex and the City, it really falls in line with all of that.
Yeah, I've never seen that one. She's cool. And she directed 4 episodes of Sex and the City in total. She also directed Three's a Crowd, No Ifs, Ands, or Buts, and our personal favorite, Are We Sluts?
Yeah, by season 4, but certainly by season 5, they were like, no more of these women directors directing Sex and the City. Let's hire guys that will exclusively go on to direct Game of Thrones.
Yes, while season 1 isn't perfect, Sex and the City was never cooler as it was in season 1.
Absolutely. And the episode begins with Carrie asking a question that I'm not exactly sure is true, which is one of the best things about living in Manhattan leaving it?
Of course. The happiest New Yorkers are the people that can afford to have second houses.
This is very true. See, I didn't live in New York long enough to acquire Hampton's friends.
Yeah.
But I feel like for our generation, it was more about, I mean, it's happening now, but like friends who have places upstate New York or in P-Town.
Well, just going on any sort of trip, like when you can never leave New York, it does make you crazy. Like I remember spending a full year there once without leaving.
Ooh.
And it's just no shade to the city, greatest city on earth. But if you don't leave it, you do sort of start to feel the grind of the city a little bit more.
So Carrie has gone off to see her married couple friends. The first season of Sex and the City, I don't know if you feel this way, I feel like it more mirrors Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. These straight couples that are on the show seem very Seinfeld coded.
Yes. And this is Peter and Patience, who it seems the only reason that Carrie is putting up with them and their bullshit is because they have a house right on the beach.
They looked like they just fell out of a J. Crew catalog, apparently. And yeah, Patience and Peter, truly the most insufferable name for a couple. The writers really nailed that.
And I guess, especially at this time, when you're a house guest, it's not about bringing over a nice bottle of Chardonnay or flowers. It is about making yourself available to some sort of humiliation routine where you tell your married friends about your single girl sexual escapades.
I love hearing about what my slutty friends are up to, but I felt that way when I was single also. I don't think that's just exclusive to married people.
Yes, we'll get into this as the episode goes on, because I do think that this is something that has changed as the decades have gone on. But I do think that Sex and the City did a great job and was the first of its kind of portraying this routine that single people have to do to their coupled up or married friends to make them feel more comfortable about them being single. Like, making the married people feel okay of like, it's fine, I know I'm a single person, but don't worry about it. Like, I think about Miranda's I'm dating a bunch of unremarkable men kind of stand-up routine that she does in season 4.
So there's a really uncomfortable scene where Peter of Patience and Peter runs into Carrie in the hallway and his dick is just fully out. He's wearing a shirt, but no pants.
He's Winnie the Poohing it, as I've taken to calling it. He's nude from the bottom because I guess he's on the way to the bathroom. There's no ensuite bathrooms in this Hamptons house. It is on the beach, but no ensuite bathrooms. What do we think Peter was trying to do? Because he doesn't seem ashamed. This actor isn't portraying it like he's half asleep, so he didn't expect Carrie to be there. He is acting kind of like, sorry to keep invoking other Sex and the City episodes, but Jim Gaffigan as Miranda's boyfriend who takes a shit with the door open, like as if this is the most normal thing to do.
Yeah, he's very nonchalant about it. Although, I think he's just an exhibitionist.
Do you think he was trying to make a pass at Carrie?
Well, I think exhibitionism is inherently sexual, even if he's not playing it that way.
Fair enough.
So Carrie, quite bravely, immediately speaks to his wife about this. Hey, I just saw your husband's dick randomly, or something to that effect.
I was looking at the Sex and the City subreddit, and of course, looking at this with post-2020 or post-2017 eyes, I saw people making the point of, like, Peter sexually assaulted Carrie by non-consensually showing her his dick.
I think that counts because there's no attempt to cover up. There's no shame. There's no indication that this was accidental.
Yeah.
Either that or he's just mentally unwell.
He might have a traumatic brain injury because he does come in the room and Patience is like, did you show Carrie your dick, Peter? And he's like, yeah, I was on the way to the bathroom.
I think one of the first things you learn as a child is like, don't show your genitals to random people, right? Like, that's the most basic thing that is like frowned on by society.
Well, I guess Peter never got that lesson. I have a question for our listeners. Do you have Cash App? If not, then why? I've had Cash App for a decade at this point, but I recently started a Cash App for the Every Outfit pod. With the new studio, there are vendors to pay, editors, and Cash App is fast, safe, and honestly just way more personalized than other apps out there. Plus, sending money with Cash App actually feels safe. They look out for you. If something feels sketchy or they see you might be sending money to a potential scammer, they'll warn you and make you think twice before you hit send. And frankly, I need that kind of protection with all the random tchotchkes Chelsea is buying from all over the internet. If for whatever insane reason you don't already have Cash App, now is the time. Just download it from your phone's app store, sign up, enter our code outfit in your profile, send $5 to a friend, and you'll get $10 just for getting started. That's right. For a limited time only, new Cash App users can use our exclusive code to earn some additional cash. For real, there's no catch. Just download Cash App and sign up. Use our exclusive referral code OUTFIT in your profile. Send $5 to a friend within 14 days and you'll get $10 dropped right into your account. Terms apply. That's money. That's Cash App. So we don't see it, but we hear in voiceover that Carrie is all but shoved onto, I assume, the Hamptons jitney straight back to Manhattan.
Yeah, and she's telling the girls about this harrowing incident. Although Carrie doesn't seem very disturbed by it.
She doesn't seem disturbed by it, and she also doesn't understand why Patience is getting so upset, to which Patience evidently says to Carrie, you wouldn't understand because you're single.
Ooh. She's a real bitch. There are a lot of bitches in this episode, I will say.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Miranda's perspective of kind of making fun of this archetype of like, what do you think? Single women are just going to your beach houses looking for your husband's dicks.
I also love the bit with the pepper grinder in this scene.
I know looks can be deceiving, but I'm sorry. Peter wasn't giving off pepper grinder dick energy.
No, not at all.
But I think that this gets to the heart of, and we're only three episodes into Sex and the City, but they're building
the thesis of the show, which is basically that single women in their 30s are victims of a society that idolizes marriage.
And married women specifically see single women as a threat.
Let's just drop a little bit of the dialogue in.
Face it, ladies, if you're still single, you are not to be trusted.
Come on, not all married women feel that way.
Charlotte treated marriage like a sorority she was desperately hoping to pledge.
You're right, not all. The ones who don't fear you, pity you.
That's not true.
Are you telling me you haven't gotten those poor single you looks?
I hate those. Okay, yes, I have. I hate it when you're the only single person at a dinner party and they all look at you like you're a...
loser?
Leper.
Whore.
Exactly. I'm telling you, married people are the enemy.
Was Miranda right? Were we enemies? Is there a secret cold war between marrieds and singles?
The shortest I couldn't help but wonder ever.
It's interesting. I feel like the I couldn't help but wonder is sort of wrapped into this episode at several different points. But yes, this is the first we see of Carrie writing on her computer. And she asks,
was Miranda right? Were we enemies?
Is there a secret cold war between marrieds and singles? Which, of course, this motif ties back to the title of the episode, a play on the Bay of Pigs.
Which, if you've never taken an American history class, is this time that the United States tried to attack Cuba and overthrow Fidel Castro, but failed quite famously?
Carrie, oddly political in this episode. And then we immediately get the man on the street stuff, which somehow, when I see it in early season two, I find it jarring. I thought this was great.
This was wonderful use of the man on the street stuff, but it starts with some total cunt who's basically like, I love my single friends, but I don't see them as much as I used to because they remind me of how desperate I once was. Horrible. Hate her.
I will say, one person talks about how annoying people in couples or married couples are because they're constantly weeing. And I will say, I've been guilty of doing the wee. We enjoyed that movie. We went to dinner there. However, I would equally wee if I was referring to you and I doing something together.
True. As a married person, I try not to wee. I actively try not to wee.
I've noticed this. You're very good at this.
Thank you. I'm sure I don't always succeed, but some couples are so obnoxious with that. It's like, we get it. You're married.
The cunty woman from the beginning also gets another line at the end where she says, some people like me choose to grow up, face reality, and get married. Others choose to what? Live an empty, haunted life of stunted adolescence? This isn't what being single is.
Also, I have never been so grateful to have had the opportunity to have lived a haunted life of stunted adolescence. I love it, personally.
Well, also, this woman is presumably in her 30s talking about other 30-year-olds. It's not like she's talking about current-day Bill Maher, who I would say is living this lifestyle.
But New York is just a city that stunts your adolescence just because you live there. Because you don't know how to do normal things like your laundry or like cooking.
Yeah, I mean, you can conceivably live your life out of a bodega.
Yeah.
That you purchase your day's needs and goods every single day.
I know, there are New York single straight men that exclusively live off of bodega sandwiches.
Who can say no to egg and cheese sausage on a roll? So now we get a Carrie and Stanford walk and talk. They both look adorable.
So good. This might be the coolest that Stanny has ever looked. It's kind of preppy, but it's also kind of like old school beatnik. Also, he's not wearing color. He's wearing a navy suit or something of that nature and a hat that kind of looks like a cross between a bucket hat and a pork pie hat, but in a cool way.
I think this speaks to how much of the actors' own wardrobe ended up in these early episodes of Sex and the City. Like, this feels like it probably came from Willie Garson's closet more than Patricia Field pulling.
For sure. So Stanford is lamenting that every gay guy he knows is running off to Hawaii, putting on a caftan, reciting vows, and feeling superior to me. And I just want to point out that this very casual social commentary about gay people assimilating into the straight world by getting married is very groundbreaking for 1998. When you think about it, like, the British version of Queer as Folk didn't even come out until the next year. And this is obviously something that's written by two gay guys based on their own experiences, based on their own feelings about how the gay world was kind of changing. And it's just pretty incredible that this was on a very mass television show.
This was the beginning of the commitment ceremony era.
Yeah, just to clarify for our younger listeners, gay marriage was very much not legal in Hawaii in 1998.
Well, I wanted to get your thoughts on the vaguely passive-aggressive comments about caftans. Caftans catching strays.
I don't think it was so much a drag of caftans as destination weddings, which gay commitment ceremonies just often were. Sometimes because you'd go to Canada or someplace where it was legal, but other times just to have a little party with your friends.
Because frankly, I could see you getting married in a caftan mm-hmm. with an orchid lei in Hawaii.
I would love that. Have you ever seen the wedding photo of like Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love?
Of course.
The best thing ever.
Okay, so Carrie runs into her friend Joe, who she hasn't seen since, as he puts it, he was straight. He's there with his life partner. And Chell, they have a great idea. And in my head, I'm like, oh, they're going to set her up on a blind date and it's going to be awkward. No. They ask Carrie if she will donate her eggs so that they can have a baby.
But the gag is that they already have a surrogate lined up. So it's like, you're going to make a surrogate do IVF? So it's Carrie's egg?
I think that's how it works either way. It's a lot.
This is crazy. And again, incredibly pointed social commentary about affluent gay men who use surrogates.
Which frankly feels way ahead of its time.
Oh, for sure. It's not just that it's still relevant today, it's even more relevant today than it was then.
Well, yeah, I think this is what made the show so groundbreaking, is they are not only commenting on what is happening in the zeitgeist, this is sort of even before it becomes mainstream to most of the world.
For sure. There's also something about this stop and chat that does feel very authentic to being a New Yorker, in the way that you just run into people on the street. And I feel like the earlier seasons had more of that quality. I guess it was also because of the people that Carrie was interviewing and stuff. But I feel like this wouldn't happen on In Just Like That in this way, unless it's Bitsy Von Muffling.
This episode is brought to you by IQ Bar, our exclusive snack sponsor. IQ Bar is the better-for-you plant protein-based snacks made with brain-boosting nutrients to refuel, nourish, and satisfy hunger without the sugar crash. I really have been enjoying my IQ bars. They have been a lifesaver, as my stomach is an unceasing pit these days, and I'm looking to feed it actually healthy stuff and not junk. I have a few in my car, I have a few in my purse. They have 12 grams of plant protein and only 1 gram of sugar. The ingredient list are actually made up of things I understand what they are, and they have great flavors, and I say this as someone who has tried pretty much every protein bar, my favorites being lemon blueberry and peanut butter chip. Don't come at me, I'm not a chocolate person, although they do have flavors like mint chocolate chip and chocolate sea salt. With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are starting their days on the right foot with IQ Bars, brain and body boosting bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom coffees. And right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus get free shipping. To get your 20% off, text OUTFIT to 64,000. Text OUTFIT to 64,000. That's OUTFIT to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. But this is wild to ask basically an acquaintance. Like, take her to dinner first before asking this. And Carrie goes on to say, I had just experienced single bashing for the new millennium. Remember when we would say things like the new millennium, Chelsea? I was no longer even considered a person. I was now an egg farm. Oof. And then you have the brilliant touch of Stanford ripping up Joe's business card and Carrie unblinkingly opening her tote to receive the trashed business card. So good.
I love that they hate them for different reasons.
Right.
But it's like an equal amount of hate from both of them.
That's right. Stanford, at the beginning of this scene, is discussing his hatred of these commitment ceremonies. But then we learn at the beginning of Sex and the City 2 that he's been saving for his wedding his entire life. So,
yeah, they really contradicted this episode with that plot line for sure.
Oh, I mean, this is a ground zero for a couple of plot points, and then just like that, that they completely retcon, which I think brings us to the next scene, which is Miranda at the softball game.
She is at her company softball game wearing a Harvard sweatshirt. What do we have to do to get Cynthia Nixon back in this sweatshirt on And Just Like That?
I don't know. We might have to send a Harvard sweatshirt to Seth.
It's got to be the easiest fashion throwback that they could do from a costuming standpoint. Although I guess Miranda is technically a Columbia girl now, but no one wants to be associated with that at the moment.
Certainly not Cynthia Nixon, no. They could also bring Sid back.
Seriously.
Okay, so Miranda at her company's law firm's softball game does not want to be single yet again at a company function. So she allows a coworker to set her up on a blind date at the softball game. And well, the person she set up with is not what she was expecting.
Miranda, this is Sid. Sid, Miranda. Look at you two. It's like a perfect match. Well, I'm going to excuse myself.
To meet you.
You too. I tell you what, I'm gonna get a soda. You want a soda?
Yeah.
I'm gonna get us a soda. Okay. Jeff?
Pretty great, huh? Can I pick him or what?
Yeah, I'm not gay.
Seriously? Man, I've been with the firm 8 months. I haven't once seen you with a guy.
Circumstantial, Jeff. I'm single. Christ, when did being single translate into being gay?
Shit.
Okay, justice for Jeff. When he says, can I pick him? I'm always like, yes. Optically, this is one of the most realistic lesbian couples I've ever seen on television and in film for that matter also.
Yeah, Miranda, it's not just that you're single.
Yeah, it's very much about the look that you have. And this is just the most classic, like, Park Slope, Cobble Hill lesbian couple who have nearly identical gender presentation, although one of them is slightly butcher usually. And I think it might be Miranda.
I would agree with you, yes.
I'm just sad that Jeff got shit on for what is essentially a public service.
I often wonder if Jeff in the End Just Like That timeline is catching up with Miranda on Facebook and he's like, wait a minute.
He's like, I knew it.
I was right.
Jeff's gaydar is on point.
But in true Sex and the City gender politics, Miranda will allow herself to be thought of in a lesbian relationship because she gets invited to a senior partner's house.
And she's like, sure, I'll make this poor woman pretend to be my girlfriend.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the connective tissue. The scene we don't get is Miranda convincing Sid to go to this dinner party, but whatever. So then we have Miranda and Carrie at Carrie's apartment. To your point about the walk and talks, which feel very true to living in New York, I feel like all of them hanging out at each other's apartment, a very true New York experience, something that gets lost as the show becomes more popular and the budgets get bigger and they can actually shoot outside and in hip restaurants.
Right. And Miranda's basically like, I'm gonna make partner no matter what it takes.
Even if I have to be a lesbian partner.
Babes, you've already done half of the work.
Well, this speaks to a general gay panic, or like making fun of gay panic, that I feel like was in media a lot at this time. Like, I think about the movie In-N-Out. I think about Three to Tango. Also, pretending to be a lesbian to make partner in a law firm feels like the plot of a Whoopi Goldberg film.
Kind of giving the associate.
Okay, I'm not that far off. I was like, this seems very familiar.
Well, in that film, for those of you who haven't seen it, Whoopi Goldberg must pretend to be a white man And ultimately, she's forced to pretend to be him in public wearing intense prosthetics. What? It's very much like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, that's how that movie got greenlit. 100%. Yeah. Miranda also says something in this scene that carries throughout the episode, which is the idea that this, her married senior partner, felt relieved to have finally figured Miranda out. Meaning like, oh, okay, it's not that you are a weird heterosexual single woman mutant. You're just a lesbian, but you're also in a relationship. Therefore, I can comprehend you now.
I think if anyone is even remotely gender nonconforming, as Miranda very much is, people want an explanation for it.
Well, yeah, and I feel like we've forgotten to plug in a very important contextual detail at this time, which is Ellen DeGeneres and Anne Heche. The idea of, like, Anne Heche kind of at this time is the most prominent bisexual woman, but she was with Ellen at this time, but then also making out with Harrison Ford in big blockbuster films. And really, as a culture, we couldn't comprehend this.
No. May she rest in peace.
So there's no central I couldn't help but wonder, but it is peppered throughout because we do get Carrie back at her laptop after this, where she says, maybe the Cold War isn't about hate. Maybe it's about fear. Fear of the unknown. Married people don't hate singles. They just want us figured out.
I think that's true.
Well, to your point, what also made Sex and the City so groundbreaking and the thesis of the show, especially in the earlier seasons, is that single people are treated as second-class citizens compared to married people.
Yeah, I mean, they literally are second-class citizens from like a taxing standpoint.
So Carrie must do more anthropological work. So she sits down with her favorite married friends, a couple we will never see again.
And they basically spring this random guy on her named Sean, who just happens to be walking by.
Well, yes. Does he happen to be walking by, or did this couple engineer a, as they call it, a fix-up?
Oh, of course. They definitely did.
Which, by the way, is something that I thought would happen more and more. I thought more of my coupled up friends would be putting me on dates. But no, that seems to be confined to Sex and the City.
But I also think that sometimes couples just at a certain point stop meeting and spending time with single people. So that's also part of it. The only people they can set you up with is someone that is like recently divorced.
This is true.
So she goes on a few dates with Sean.
I just want to call out, they go to the movies a couple of times. And what a time to be alive when City of Angels and U.S. Marshals is in theater at the same time. Two medium budget genre films that studios literally do not make anymore.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
She also helped him pick out a top-of-the-line cheese grater at Williams-Sonoma, and Carrie wears a very cute outfit, a Hanson tee under a red trench coat with, like, is she wearing a bucket hat? Is that what it is?
It seems to be she's wearing a bucket hat.
I think it's cute.
The bucket hat, I believe, could come from Sarah Jessica Parker's own wardrobe. The Hanson shirt, who knows where that came from? She refers to Sean, who, while she has gone on several dates with, she can see that this is not really going anywhere. She puts it, he was like the flesh and blood equivalent of a DKNY dress. You know it's not your style, but it's right there, so you try it on anyway.
I find it odd that they are dragging DKNY of all brands, just considering that is who designed the naked dress, which appears on every single episode of Sex and the City in the title sequence.
Yes, it is the dress that Carrie is wearing in her bus advertisement.
Also, DKNY is a brand that appeals to a wide swath of people.
I think it is a brilliant piece of dialogue because it perhaps is a meta commentary about the beginning of everyone having a diffusion line.
True.
Where is it as special as Donna Karen? No. But it's there, it's affordable, you're in the Bloomingdale's, might as well try it on.
Could do a lot worse than DKNY.
I would kill for DKNY. I would kill to walk into a Macy's right now and try on a DKNY dress.
You know what? I bet there's so much of it on the RealReal. I should actually add that to my saved searches because I buy so much Donna Karen there already for nothing. Pennies.
Yeah, we should make the list of like, here are the brands that you can get for almost nothing on the RealReal because they have not been discovered yet.
For sure.
I find this to be true of Armani as well.
Oh, yeah. You can get like the most gorgeous Armani men's suit from the 80s for like $150.
Anyway, so now the ladies have split up. We have Miranda and Sid, who are finally going to this senior partner's house for a dinner party.
Which is described as a right-wing Republican dinner party. Miranda really butched up for the occasion, even for her. Pinstripe suit and a red tie. She looks so good. It's crazy.
And although we don't see what happens inside, obviously they made quite the splash because the senior partner is like, you did well, kiddo, or whatever he says to Miranda. And she spills the beans that she's not actually gay, which like, why?
Yeah, she could just say like, oh, Sid and I broke up or whatever.
Yeah.
But she's like, Sid and I aren't really a couple. In fact, we're not even really lesbians. Actually, Sid is. It's like, what? Can't you just lie and say you're bisexual or something?
That might have confused him even more. This is 1998. I'm sure he's like, lesbians I get. Has the infamous, what was it, Newsweek bisexual issue even come out yet?
I don't know. It seems like that was around the same time.
Miranda confesses, I did all of this because I just wanted to bend your ear. To which the senior partner is completely fine with this. And he was like, shrewd move, counselor. Although my wife will be disappointed as she was looking to add a lesbian couple to our circle.
Genius. Again, brilliant commentary on the social capital that can be attached to being gay, as well as the desires of a certain kind of white, straight, conservative person who wants to have friends that belong to some sort of minority group so they can align themselves with that social capital and also look just less cold-hearted and shitty.
Yeah, I was going to say, they can keep doing their evil shit. And when they get called on, they're like, but we have lesbian friends. Yeah, we don't want them to have rights, obviously, but we will invite them to dinner. So we're burying the lead, right? Miranda and Sid get back into the elevator. And, you know, Miranda just wants to give it a try. Maybe she is gay. And so she kisses Sid and they're both like, nope. Miranda, I believe, says definitely straight. And Sid goes, yeah, you are. Which I wanted to ask you as the resident lesbian of this podcast, if you kiss a straight woman, can you tell that they're straight?
Interesting question.
Like, does your gaydar work through your lips?
I don't know if I could answer that. But whatever that kiss was like the kiss that a toddler would give to another toddler.
To be fair, we have had a more passionate kiss during my bachelorette party.
Yeah, for sure.
Before we get into the rest of the episode with Carrie, what do we make of this? Three episodes into the first season, after the show goes off air, Cynthia Nixon comes out, and then we've incorporated this storyline. I know that Miranda asks in season two of And Just Like That if she even is a lesbian, but it seems from the episode descriptions I've read of season three that we are going in a lesbian direction with Miranda. So what do we think? Because this is a complete retcon.
Look, I get it. it. They made this choice very early on in Sex and the City. They clearly, at the time, had no desire to make this a queer character.
Despite costuming, Cynthia Nixon's hair, her presentation, they were like, mm-mm. Not a lesbian.
See, I almost feel as if this was written just for an actress and not someone that actually fully passes as a lesbian.
I'm sure people are screaming at their phones or speakers at this moment. I think it's worth mentioning that Sandra Bernhard was originally offered Miranda.
Yeah, so they were going with, well, she's bisexual also, but perhaps more famously with women.
Right, a queer woman.
Yeah. And I'm sure that Sandra would have been incredible in the role of Miranda, but I do think that she would have been miscast. She is the most Samantha person. Or her stage persona at that time was very Samantha. Like when she was on Letterman, that was Samantha Jones 101. And I think she would have killed in the Samantha role.
For sure. It would have been a nice Easter egg in season two when Miranda's talking about her ambivalence about her sexuality. She says something to the effect of, you know, it's not like I was looking at a Brady's teacher, Mrs. Hahn, going, oh, she's hot. It would have been nice to get a, you know, when I kissed Sid all those years ago.
Maybe it's not too late.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Meanwhile, that's what's going on the east side. On the west side, Carrie is going to the housewarming party of her not-boyfriend-boyfriend, who has bought a classic six on the Upper East Side.
Thank you, Sex and the City, for introducing me to the concept of a classic six. If you actually pay close attention to the various references on Sex and the City, you actually can become a somewhat cultured person.
I mean, it worked for us.
That was the gift of this show.
So Carrie has brought along Charlotte and Samantha, basically on the promise that my not boyfriend boyfriend is having a housewarming party, so of course there will be other eligible bachelors there, only for it to be exclusively couples. Now, this I relate to. I have been the only single person at a party filled with married couples. And yeah, you do feel like a leper or a loser. But I've never felt like a whore, as Samantha says earlier in the episode.
It's more that this party just seems shitty.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a party I would want to be at, but I will give it the benefit of the doubt of this is early Sex and the City. I don't know if this party seems shitty because of their lack of budget or it's just a shitty party.
Right. So Samantha immediately starts drinking tequila because the vibe is so bad, because she's just talking to some random married guy about the stock market and his wife comes up and acts shitty to her.
Fair enough. She's also, which is an oft Samantha storyline, she's just pointing out at every man that she once had sex with. It's hard to determine if she slept with them when they were married or when they were single and now they're married.
I think they were probably married. Would be my guess.
We also get this bit in a Carrie voiceover because she's whisked away by Sean, where she says, as I moved through the married couples, I noticed something was different. No fear, no pity, no pointing. Were Sean's friends Cold War conscientious objectors? Or was it just that I was, quote, figured out? And the figuring out is, I guess, if you are in a relationship, you are no longer a single mutant.
Right, because if she's dating him, she's not likely to try and flirt with one of the other guys there.
Yeah, they get into this in the brunch scene, right? Which is, they believe the fear of married women is that you're going to go after our husbands as a single woman.
Of course.
So around this point, Sean shows Carrie a mobile that he got in Aspen 3 years ago. That would be perfect for a future nursery for his children. And I feel like I should just say that there is such a thing as being too emotionally available.
Yeah, that's a lot to show someone that you're casually dating, that in theory would be the mother of that child.
So something happens that I think is a first in Sex and the City history, which is Samantha is too drunk and needs to be walked out of this party by Charlotte.
But not before blowing up Carrie's relationship with, what are their horrible names again? Patience and something. Not that these names are horrible individually, but together.
Patience and Peter.
Right. Because Samantha's drunk and she just basically screams like peppermill dick at this man in front of his wife.
Which, I'm sorry, but Patience and Peter, unsurprisingly so, lack a sense of humor. If I was at a housewarming party where people are drinking and someone says that my husband has a pepper grinder dick or peppermill dick, that's a compliment. Just laugh it off.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy. But Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
So Charlotte takes Samantha home, which happens kind of one other time when Samantha sleeps with Charlotte's brother. Samantha's done a lot of damage in Charlotte's apartment in the first few seasons of Sex and the City. So Samantha sees and drunkenly flirts with Charlotte's young, very handsome Irish doorman.
It read to me as Irish, but we're probably wrong and I'm sure we'll get comments about it. We'll see.
And of course, Samantha comes back out in a lingerie look with a cape that I had thought was from a different episode.
Well, it's more just crazy that she's just casually wearing like a full garter set and stockings underneath her clothes, like goals. That's what I thought I would do when I was like a tween or something. Like when I'm an adult, I'll look like some Helmut Newton ass bitch every single day of my life.
Same, same. And I hate to be this person. But this is the rewatch episodes. That black bra would not work with her Hervé Léger-esque halter neck dress that she was wearing.
We just got to suspend our disbelief with that one.
And I'm happy to. If anyone is going to pull, as you put it, a Helmut Newton look to seduce a doorman, I'm fine to expand my imagination. So she fucks this doorman, although we don't get to see it. What we do see is Charlotte waking up in the middle of the night and finding this doorman sneaking out of her apartment.
It's really funny. And he says, I've been so lonely since I left home. I just wanted the feel of a woman's touch on me. Very heartwarming. You can't even be mad at him.
But knowing Charlotte as we do, do you think she narked to her HOA board?
No.
Okay.
I don't think Charlotte's that big of a bitch. Although this, of course, is highly inappropriate. And I'm sure the real world equivalent of this situation would be extremely fucked up. But the Sex and the City version is just kind of delightful.
I do love that there's an extra beat after this where the doorman during the day says to Charlotte, like, I didn't hear from your friend Samantha. Like, did I do something wrong? And Charlotte's just like, I don't know. Walks back into the building. So back to Carrie and Sean. This episode is filled with a lot of forgettable white guy names. But yes, she breaks up with Sean because he is very much the marrying kind. And there is this slightly dark moment where he doesn't say this exactly, but it's basically like, what the fuck is wrong with you bitches? All I hear is that you want to get married, and that's all I want. And when I say that to women, they don't want me. And it's like, I don't, maybe because you're showing them objects from a future baby nursery on the fourth date?
That could have something to do with it.
But there is a woman who would be into this, Chelsea.
Charlotte.
Yes. So they start dating.
They date. We see them shopping for china. And Charlotte is horrified by the china that he wants.
Because he was American classic and she is, of course, French country.
What? No, she's American classic. And whatever this china is, looks like Versace home.
I couldn't tell which of the plates he was appreciating because one of them looks like directly something out of Trey McDougal's apartment that Bunny picked out for him.
I don't know. I think that Charlotte is American classic and he is like on some Euro trash bullshit.
I mean, you can't trust a straight guy who has too much style and taste.
Unless it's like their profession or something.
And then we get this end beat where Carrie meets up with her girlfriends at the movies.
As I sifted through the rubble of my marriage skirmish, I had a thought. Maybe the fight between marrieds and singles is like the war in Northern Ireland. We're all basically the same, but somehow we wound up on different sides. Sure, it'd be great to have that one special person to walk home with. But sometimes, there's nothing better than meeting your single girlfriends for a night at the movies.
Okay, I'm sorry. It is absolutely wild to try to relate the tension between married and single people with the troubles? Maybe this is why Carrie and the writers who write Carrie don't delve into politics. This is the most political we get of Carrie Bradshaw, because it's like, excuse me?
Look, it was a different time. It was all about being shocking and politically incorrect.
Absolutely. Connecting it back to Bill Maher. That's when he had Politically Incorrect. There was a whole show, a nightly talk show called Politically Incorrect.
Yeah, he was very ahead of his time.
And then he got very behind the times.
It's so funny how it just like changed names. Like now it's woke, then it was politically correct as the preferred catch-all phrase.
But yes, we're definitely in a very politically incorrect time. And I just want to call out before we wrap up this episode that the posters at this movie theater have changed. And it is showcasing the posters for a movie called Quest for Camelot. But more importantly, Godzilla, who had Sarah Jessica Parker's husband in it.
Well, I hope they didn't see that because it was bad. Or at least that's what I remember thinking when I watched it as a child.
Oh, no. It's a very bad movie.
Okay. Exit survey time. How many Manolos?
8.
I'm giving it 10.
Okay.
I'm giving it 10 for its relevance, for how well it distills the thesis of the show, for how funny it is for Miranda in her lesbian era, and for some really good fashion moments from many different characters, not just Carrie, which for the early seasons is a little unusual.
I will say this is probably the strongest season one episode, although we have not done them all yet. Okay, let's get into the exit survey. Who is the MVP of the episode?
I'm going with Miranda.
Interesting. Why?
Well, I just like that plot line. To me, it's one of the most iconic plot lines she's ever gotten.
All right, I will go with Carrie, just because I think this is the best investigative journalist Carrie that we get, certainly in the early parts of the season.
Okay, who are you voting off the island of Manhattan?
Peter or Sean, and it's not because I can't tell them apart. It's either Peter, who showed his dick, or Sean, who just reveals too much about himself, is too emotionally available.
It's definitely Peter. Peter is a sex offender, and that would now be considered a jailable offense.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think, well, again, you're the expert. I'm sure there's a SVU episode that has a very similar plot.
Best dressed?
I'm going to go with Samantha in her Helmut Newton garter ensemble towards the end of the episode.
It's truly so hard to pick. Maybe I'm just going to go with Stanford because he might actually be the coolest of all of them.
Yeah, I thought you might have picked Carrie in that scene. That's why I went with Samantha. But yeah, it's either or.
Although there's two really iconic Miranda looks. Like the Harvard sweatshirt is one of the most iconic, apart from the overalls and the bucket hat windbreaker combo, one of the more iconic casual outfits.
Well, the straight tie suit Miranda is also iconic. And I believe we got into this last week, which is the current trend that you are horrified by of straight women wearing straight ties and suits.
I'm not horrified by it. And I'm not saying it can never work. I'm just saying historically women that wear ties, it's, you know, like as a queer woman, that's like a signifier of like, who should I be dating? So to have it sort of enter the mainstream in this way is weird, although it's pretty easy to tell who is straight and who is gay because most of these girls have long hair and aren't androgynous in any way. Although some of them look major. Like I drove past one of those Saint Laurent billboards on the way here and model looked fab. I just don't think it's for everyone.
So would you say that this is your biggest trigger?
No, it's not my biggest trigger because Miranda can pull it off.
I have never liked when men's penises are referred to as pepper mills. And I understand the origin of this. Do you know the origin of this?
No.
Okay, so there was a man named Porfirio Rubirosa who was a playboy. He married many different women, many heiresses. And there was a restaurant in Paris where he was known to frequent. It was also known about him that he had a big dick. So they took to calling their giant pepper mills Rubirosas. And that is why those two things are put together.
See, I thought it was just this episode of Sex and the City.
No, you would know of this person because he married Barbara Woolworth Hutton. If you remember, a version of her appears in Phantom Thread. Remember the scene where...
Right. Okay. Yes, of course.
That is... So the woman, you know, marries this much younger guy who's obviously marrying her for her money, and she gets very sad and she cries, and then, you know, they take her out of the dress because she doesn't deserve to wear it. It's based on that marriage. That woman married a guy with a giant peppermill dick.
Wow. That was the perfect every outfit digression, Lauren. Truly.
Thank you.
Well played.
And finally, what is your hottest take?
Sid was the one that got away.
100%.
You found her. You found her before you met Steve.
Do we think that there's a resemblance between Sid and Steve?
No, I don't think there's a resemblance. There's more of a resemblance between Sid and Miranda. But that's, as we know, a very prominent form of lesbian couple.
Sorry, my mind just went to the Sam Rockwell speech from White Lotus, where are we going to find out that Miranda's lesbianism is rooted in her just wanting to fuck herself?
Stop.
I don't know. Her bone structure, very similar to Dolly Wells. That's all I'm going to say.
True.
Okay. My hottest take is, while I do think at times there is tension between married and single people, I don't think it's rooted in married people thinking single people are alien or weird for not being married. I think it's more that married people, some, are intimidated at the fact that single people still have options. They're dating, and I feel like for some married people, it makes them question if they made the wrong choice.
Oh, of course. I agree with you. That is the root.
All right. I guess, so then that's my lukewarm take, if you agree with it as well.
All right, Lauren, this was fun. Can you believe that the next time we are back, we will have an all new episode of And Just Like That to talk about?
Tune in to see if my water breaks while discussing it. All right, guys, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The RealReal. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.